Good morning to everyone. Our God is good. And all the time. Amen. Are you happy to be here this morning? I'm looking at Andy. Andy, are you happy to be here this morning? Okay. So we're having a great time in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm like, whoa, I feel revived. And like David said, no place like the house of God. No place like the presence of God. You know, when you come into his presence, whether you are tired, he revives you. Amen. Amen? When you come in his presence, if you are downcast, he lifts you up. Hallelujah. So no place, there is no better place than being here this morning. Amen. I want us to sing a song, so I'll have you to get up your seat and, you know, shake your body. And I'm sure you all know that, you all know the song, My Shackles Are Gone. So if your shackles are gone, then you are able to rise up and jump and dance. Amen. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord. He lifted me. My sins are forgiven. Now I am free. Oh, praise the Lord. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. One more time. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord. He lifted me. My sins are forgiven. And now I am free. Oh, praise the Lord. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. Amen. 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 Jesus set us free. Hallelujah. Amen. We are free indeed. The Bible says that whosoever the Son of Man sets free, that person is free indeed. Amen. So we are free people this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we just want to thank you for the love that you have for us. Father, we want to thank you for choosing us. We didn't choose ourselves, Lord, you chose us. Lord, regardless of who we are, Father, in our sins, oh God, in our mess, Father, you choose us. You called us by name, Father. Lord, we thank you for that privilege to serve a God like you. Lord, this morning, we just say we love you. And we love you, Lord, because you loved us first. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to us individually, oh God. Move in our midst, Holy Spirit, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll be looking at the book of Genesis. We just started. Pastor Rob did the introduction last week. So I'm going to cover chapter 1 and chapter 2, which is talking about the creation. And I'm sure that most of us have read, you know, the book of Genesis. I don't know. It's the beginning. So, and Pastor Rob titled it, Creation. Is that it, Pastor Rob? Creation. I should talk about creation. Okay. So what I'm going to do this morning is just showing us the love of God through his creation. Showing how much God loves you. How much God loves me through, you know, the creation. When we read the book of Genesis from the beginning, it says that the earth, let me read. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let it be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let them be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament. I hope I'm pronouncing that word really good. From the waters which were. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning. So you can carry on reading. And one of the things that when you read, you know, the work of God through creation. God created everything. And, you know, when I read and he said it was good. Everything he created, he kept saying, and God saw that it was good. You know, he created the heaven, he saw that it was good. He created the water, he saw that, divided the water, he saw that it was good. He created the plant, he saw that it was good. He created the star, everything he created, he saw that it was good. And he created everything before creating man. What does that tell us? It tells us about his love for me and you. Because he had to put everything that you and I needed. He had to put those things together. So when he brings us into the scene, we have everything that we need in order to operate on earth, to have a life that is satisfactory. Amen? Amen. God loves you. God loves me. He loves us. And you know, if he did that back then to show us how much he loves us, what about now? What about now? He loves you. And I don't know why I'm emphasizing on this, because there are people who think at some point that God loved them. And then when they walk their walk with God, they go to another level and they think, oh, God doesn't love me that much. Maybe because they blew it up. Maybe because something happened and they just think, I don't really think he loves me. But I want to tell you this morning that he loves you. He loves us. And that's why he put everything together before creating us. And when we read the word, he said, God spoke, God said, God said, God said, let it be light. God said, let it. But when it came to creating me and you, guess what? He didn't say. He took his time. He took his time. And I want us to read see chapter 1 and verse 26. And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bed of the earth, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. When he came to me and you, he said, let us make man. And he was saying, let us make man. Who are those people? God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not just going to speak man into existence as I've done for other things. Man is important. I need someone who looks like me. And I'm going to make him. And he took his time to fashion you and me. Amen. In his own image and in his own likeness. You know, sometimes they say to you, you look like your father, you look like your mother. No, you look like God. We look like God. Amen. Because if we are created in his image and in his likeness, therefore we look like him. You know, Psalm 139 and verse 14, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know about you, but when I was reading, I was like, Ella, ooh. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Not just made like anyone else. But I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And I'm telling you, if that doesn't really, you know, makes you feel like, I don't know. But for me, that's very important. Because, you know, this day we have the problem of identity. People trying to be like this, trying to look like this, trying to. But when the Bible tells me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, wow, there is no one like that God. Amen. So if I look like him, then I am more than special. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, there is a psalm that says that, let me just find it. It says, know ye not that ye are gods. So if you are a child of God, who are you? God with little g. Amen. I mean, we should give ourselves that value. We are valuable. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes people say, oh, Ella, you look proud. I say, yes, I know who I am in Christ. I know my identity. I know my Father. Amen. I know who I carry in me. And therefore, when I walk with confidence. Why? Because I know my God. I know who I am in Christ. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. I am his masterpiece. Hallelujah. That thrills me. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are God's masterpiece. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Amen. I just want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you look great. You are made in the image of God. If they don't believe it, turn to the person next on the other side. Maybe they don't believe it. Tell the person, you are made in the image of God. Amen. We are made in the image of God. We look great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want us to read Psalm 8. Because when you read Psalm 8, I'm telling you, it just kind of describe a bit like summing up the creation. Can you just go with me to Psalm 8, please? It says, O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. He said, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemy, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, as from verse 3, he says, when I consider the heaven, the works of your hands, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? He says, and the son of man that you visit him. For you made him a little lower than the angel, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. And you have put all things under his feet. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. You know, when he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? It's like looking at man and thinking, look at man, but God is so mindful of you, so mindful of me. The kind of cares that he shows, that's David who was talking. The kind of cares that you show me, you know, your protection, your love. Who am I that you're mindful of me? We are something, because that's the way he was looking at himself, that the great God, the almighty God, is looking at him that way, caring for him. But when he look at himself, he's thinking, I'm nothing, but how can God, the almighty God, care so much about me? You know what? And that is because he loves us. That is because he loves us and he cares for us. Amen. And you know, after he created us in his image, guess what? He gave us dominion. And I love that. He gave us power. He gave us dominion to be able to subdue everything that he created. And sometimes, you know, the tragedy is that most of us don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know the power that we carry. We don't know what we can do. Because when we understand the dominion that God has given us, I'm telling you, when things happen, you just think, I have the power. You know what, Satan, you can't put me here. I have the power and I have the dominion to subdue you and to put you under my feet where you belong. Amen. When you read the beginning, he said, I just want to go back because I just want us to really, really take this in. It says the earth was without form, that's verse 2, and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. There was darkness. There was chaos. He said the earth was without form, and God spoke. He said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. And guess who has that same power to speak? We do. Yes, Lauren. I wanted someone to say, I do. We have that same power to speak because he gave us that power. He gave us that dominion, that ability to speak and see things happen. He said, let it be light. And there was light. And you know, the word of God says in Proverbs 18, I think verse 21 or verse 22, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. He that loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in what we say. We have the power to say things and we see them come to pass. Amen. Job 22, 28 says, you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. And know what? And light will shine on your way. We have the power to decree things. We have the power to say things. Just like God said, let it be light, and there was light. We can say things and we see them come into manifestation. The question I want to ask is, is there an aspect in your life where there is darkness? Is there an aspect in your life that is, you know, without form? That is void? This morning, I want you to know that you have the power to change that. We have the power to change it. We have the power to change things. Amen. In the word that we speak. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes we speak a lot of negative words, including myself. You know, when things are not going right, what do? We keep focusing on it. We talk about it. You know, I see X and I'm like, oh, this is going wrong and on and on and on. But forgetting that I have the power to declare and see things changing. And I want to say something, right? When the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue, it means that whatever you declare happens. Whether you declare negative things, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So instead of then declaring what is negative, which sometimes we just kind of, you know, just aggravating the situation, it's better to declare positive. It's better to declare the word of God so we can see changes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I didn't plan this, but I think I would just say it. You know, when before having Zoe, I had a miscarriage, and it was 5 months and a half, and because the doctor said to me, even when I was pregnant, they said, oh, it's even a miracle that you got pregnant. You cannot get pregnant with the fibroid that you have, you know. Forget. So I had a miscarriage. And the thing was, I believed what the doctor said. He said, you can't. And, you know, ultra, I was thinking, oh, no. He said, oh, the pregnancy cannot go through. And I believe, and I was in fear and just keep thinking. And eventually, 5 months and a half, I had a miscarriage. So what after that? You know, build up my faith, and each time I was declaring, with the stripe of Jesus, I'm healed from fibroid. I made those declarations for years, and I kept making those declarations. So when I got pregnant, and the doctor was like, I was a bit concerned. I'm like, is everything okay? Say, yes, it's okay. So after like 4 months into the pregnancy, had another, had an ultrasound, and I was thinking, oh my God. And asked him, is everything okay? He said, yes, it's okay. Why are you concerned? I said, oh, because I had fibroid and they were massive in my uterus. I had a miscarriage and they said I could not even get pregnant. And he looked at me and said, well, you have fibroid, but they are very tiny and that's fine. I mean, the baby is okay. And I was like, are you serious? So he was surprised and he's looking at me saying, which doctor did you even see? And I named the two gynecologists that were actually the best in the city where I live. And they said, well, they're actually the best. And they say, what happened? I say, Jesus happened. I say, you know what? I'm a Christian and I've been praying. And he said to me, what about science? And I said, I don't care about science. I believe in God, and that's what I'm saying to you. And today, you all know Zoe, my daughter, she's 16. The power of declaration. You know, I can go on with other testimonies, but there is a power in the word that we speak. You know, you can speak today, nothing happened. Tomorrow, nothing happened, but we keep speaking and keep speaking and keep declaring. Guess what? And there will be a change. Hallelujah. Because God said his word cannot return to him void without accomplishing the purpose for which he was sent. Amen. It might take time, but it will surely come to pass. So I want to encourage someone here this morning. Maybe you've been making declaration and trusting God and seeing that nothing is happening, and you are at the point of thinking, oh, you want to give up. You are discouraged. But I'm here to encourage you. Keep declaring. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. You know what? At some point, sometimes it's even when we least expect things to happen. And guess what? They happen. That's the God who we serve. Amen? Amen. 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 And I want to say this, that it doesn't happen when you see the testimony. Because most often when we see it happening, that's when we think, oh, God did it. No. God did it from the first day. From the first day when you started declaring. From the first day when you started believing. He started doing this. I like this illustration, right? If you're trying to cut a tree, and then maybe you have an axe, and you keep, you know, hitting the tree over and over, over and over, and eventually the trees fall down. When did the tree started falling down? The very first time. Amen. The very first time. And sometimes you think, oh, it's just fell off now. No, the very first time. So the secret is keep hitting. Keep on. Keep on. At some point you feel like, oh, my hands are hurting. But just carry on. Carry on. You know, just be encouraged, because eventually that tree is going to fall. Amen. Praise God. Our God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. Our God is faithful. You know, someone might say, okay, Ella, that's the Old Testament. You know, creation, God gave us dominion. He gave us the power. That's Adam and Eve. And you know, when they messed up and the enemy, they gave that dominion and authority to the enemy. And that's true. Because God gave them power, dominion, when he created them. And then when they fell into sin, I mean, Adam committed high treason, you know, by bowing before the enemy, and he gave that authority and that dominion back to the enemy. But guess what? Jesus came. Jesus came. He went through the cross. He died for you and me. He took back the keys. Hallelujah. He took back that dominion and he gave it to you and me. Amen. So we have that dominion back. We have it. And I would say it's even better. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, I think chapter 4. And one of the verses say, as Jesus was, as Christ was, so are we on earth. Can you imagine? As Jesus was, so are you on earth. Do you believe that? You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we just read and think. We just read. And without really taking time to ponder and to understand, you know, the power behind the word. As Jesus was, so are we. Let's try and look. How was Jesus? The Bible says that he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the enemy, for God was with him. As Jesus was, so are we. When he said to someone, be healed, that person was healed. He multiplied the bread and the fishes. Do you think we can do that? Like everybody's looking at me like, no, Ella, that's very far. As Jesus was, so are we. I've seen people doing great things for God. It's not because they are not different for you, from you and me, but it's just because they believe the word. They just believe what the word says the way it says it. You know, if the Bible says, I can do this, then therefore I can do it. I will do it. I remember a man of God I was watching, he's from Nigeria, Benson Idawusa, and he said he read the word, and the Bible says that, you know, you raise the dead. And he went and asked his pastor, have you raised any dead? The pastor said, no. He said, why? And the pastor was like, what do you mean, why? He said, no, I'm looking for a dead person. If the Bible says that we can raise the dead, then that is possible. And he said he was going around and knocking, is there any dead person here? Did anyone die here? And he said, finally, I find someone who died. And he was excited, sharing his testimony. He said, I find someone who died, not just died, but who died like in the morning and it was evening. And guess what? He prayed. And the person came back to life. And when we read the word, the things that he did, he raised so many people from the dead. Do you think that is different for you and me? No. Or the people who are doing it, are they different? They are not. It's because they believe what the word says. Jesus turned water into wine. Can we do it? Yes, we can. But do we believe we can do it? That is another question. Most often we don't believe that we can do it. We believe that the word of God is true, but we don't believe that it can apply to us. I want us to look at Mark chapter 11, just to demonstrate what I'm saying. You know, the power of the spoken word. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. It talks about, you know, when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Mark chapter 11, as from verse 12, it says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to eat, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever. That's what Jesus said. Let no one eat fruit from you ever. He spoke the word. And guess what? Let's go to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, you know, that's just my interpretation. Peter saying that, it's like he didn't believe when Jesus cursed that fig tree. Because if he believed, he would not be surprised. So when he saw that the fig tree has dried up, he's saying, Master, look at the fig tree that you cursed. It is actually dried up. And this is Jesus' answer. He said, have faith in God. Now, when he said have faith in God, that it means that Peter did not have faith. He said, have faith in God. Now, let's just look at that sentence, have faith in God. What does that mean? When we have faith in God, it means we have faith in the word of God. We cannot have faith in God without trusting his word. Have faith in God. Trust the word of God. Trust that word that you speak. Amen? That when you speak that word, it actually carries power to become what it says. And Jesus carry on saying, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You know, there he says here about three times. He said, whoever says to the mountain, Whoever says to the problem, whoever says to that situation, the mountain symbolizes whatever you're dealing with. Whoever says, be thou removed and be cast to the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says, believe that what you declare, what you say. And he says again here that he will have whatever he says. Says three times. That's the emphasis on what we say, the power of what we declare, the power of what we say. Amen? What is it in your life that needs some saying? What is it in your life that needs some declaration? You know, you look at the thing, the mountain, and you think, wow, this mountain is too big. But the truth is that there is no mountain that is bigger than the Word of God. There is no mountain that is bigger than our God. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. Probably the doctor might have given you a report that you think, wow. No, there is no report that is bigger than the Word of God. Is it your marriage? There is nothing that is bigger than, or your child, or your job, or your business, or whatever you are facing. Nothing is bigger than the Word of God, because God and His Word are one. Let's learn to make some declaration. Let's learn to speak the Word. Speak the Word over our circumstances. Declare the Word. You know, when we do that, it is amazing the result that we're going to see. Now, to summarize what I've just shared with us, I was talking about God demonstrating His love through creation. You know, before God brought us on this earth, or before God created man, He created everything that man needed. Amen. And then He created man in His own image, created us in His image. So which means that we are important. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And after creating us just like Him, He gave us power. He gave us dominion. Why did He do that? Because He knew that living on earth, we will encounter challenges. We will encounter problems. But when He gave us that dominion and that power, just like Him, so we are able to speak. We are able to make a difference. We are able to live a victorious life on earth. And that's possible. That's possible. Does that mean that I'm not going to go through challenges? No, I will. And so will you. But then we have that power and that dominion that He has given us. We have His Word that He has given us, that we speak over those circumstances and we see results. Amen. Our God loves us, and He cares for us. So I just want us to pray. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know that you have the power in you. You have the dominion. You have everything that it takes to overcome. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we just want to thank You for Your Word. Because we know that Your Word is true, Your Word is sharper, Your Word is active, Your Word is alive, Your Word is powerful. And Your Word, Father God, brings result. Father, I pray for my sister, my brother here present. Lord, You know every single one of us. You know our challenges, Lord. You know, Father, what we go through in and out. And Lord, I just pray that in Your mighty power, Lord, You will move. You will touch our life. You will bring solution, Father God, to these issues that we are facing. And Lord, with the Word that we've learned this morning, Father, we will stand up, understand the power and the dominion that we have, oh God, and speak over those circumstances, Father. Not be down, Father, having the enemy crushing us. But Lord God, that we're going to rise up, King of glory, and be on top by the declaration of the Word, knowing who we are in Christ, and come out of any circumstances we are facing victoriously in Jesus' mighty name. We thank You, Lord. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody clap for me. 1 minute to 12.
Wow. Listen, you've got another 35 seconds. I'm going to take those. Right, those 35. She just said something, and I said the same thing over in the kitchen earlier. It's possible. It's possible. I said, actually, when me and Steppy have our next baby, we're going to call it Pep. On account of Lynn called her son Robert after Bob Paisley, the Liverpool manager. Now, I kind of was joking, but it is possible because Abraham was a lot older than me and Sarah was a lot older than Steppy, so it's possible that there'll be a little Pep running around at some point soon. Okay, Gracie's shaking her head. You've had enough, you've done enough. But let me tell you something. Benson Ida Hoser, who Ella mentioned, me and Steppy saw him a long time ago, probably 30 years ago. And do you know that fella, when he was a baby, he was sick all the time. He's sick, and his dad said, I don't want that. And he threw him on the place where he threw the rubbish, outside the village in Africa, right? But his mum went out at night, in the middle of the night, and rescued him. The wolves would have ate him, or the bears, or the lions, or whatever they have there, would have ate him, right? But his mum took him to the next village where her sister lived, and her sister brought him up, okay? And when he became a Christian, bit by bit, at some point, he got a recognition that I should be able to do what Jesus did. And that's when he went looking. I've heard the story from his own lips. That's when he went looking. There was a little girl that he found in a village who died. And at the point when he was talking to us, he'd seen 14 resurrections from the dead. 14. Now, what I think Ella's just done, he said to you, get in the ring with Mike Tyson, right, and give him a good hiding. That's what it sounds like, because to go from where Benson, from where we are to where Benson Ida Hoser was, it's a journey. And like the axe, every single time you hit the tree, the axe is making a dent and it's getting bigger. That's what we've got to do. We've got to start believing in the little things and trusting God in the little things and speaking the right words. I said before to somebody said to me, you're still going strong. And I actually said back, well, I'm still going. Do you get it? Even that little change and a little bit more tomorrow and a little bit more tomorrow, we will start seeing the miracles like the raising of the dead, because it's possible. And that's where we have to start. It's possible. It is possible that little Pep will be in here. It's probably not going to happen. Steppy wouldn't like it, I don't think. Gracie wouldn't like it. I've seen that already. She keeps shaking her head. You're not having any more, Dad. But it's possible. It's possible. And if we believe what God tells us in his word, we're already seeing miracles. We've just seen, we're going to sign this piece of paper. They told us that couldn't happen. We own that other building. How? For nothing. Somebody said, I wouldn't sell you that for £1 million. Well, I haven't got £1 million. I didn't need a penny. God delivered it into my hands. It's a miracle. We're going to see the miracles. But, you know, you might have to do that as well. And let's get back on track. Thank you. It was a great word, Ella. Sorry I took your next 4 minutes off you. All right. Have you got a song, Bert? We're going to finish with a song. Praise the Lord. And you could all pray for Pep if you want.